Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Lift your hands to heaven once. Come on, Father. You have made us warriors on this planet. And that's and we understand that. And we receive from you our assignment to be that man of God. You would wish all male children would turn out to be your servants. But not so. But we are. We accept that. We accept that role in our life. We accept that challenge in our life. And we accept the anointing and the training that goes with it. In the name of Jesus, everybody shout amen.
Amen.
Let me come down here where I can look in your eyes. Hey, I want to tell you about one thing. I want to tell you about two things. One, we have product with us. Go back and get some stuff and keep studying, will you? That's one amen, and I heard a grunt somewhere. I thought this was a men's meeting. Say amen once.
Amen.
Why do I feel like a Cub Scout leader? Say amen like your men.
Amen.
Hoorah. What does God have to say about it? This right now, I believe, is a series that every human being needs to listen to, whether they're Christians or not. Because our Bible is being so modified by modern preachers that I see it even in our churches. Now, you're blessed. I know the pastors that are here, and I know this church. And I know you're being taught the Word, but you got to understand, not every church is like this one. And the Bible's being modified tremendously. So what that means is, a lot of the body of Christ, they're living by what a man says or what modernism says rather than what God says. And a lot of people seem to not know anymore what God thinks about stuff. So I put a series together. What does God have to say about that? So bring up any modern topic you want to. And man has something to say about it. Man's always been mouthy. Man's always had his opinion. But what's God got to say about this particular topic? And in this, now you got to get prayed up. Now, if you're a sissy little mama's boy, you get prayed up really good before you listen to this man-level message. And if you're going to let your wife and kids hear it, you make sure you get them prepped for it, especially your kids. And I wrote one of the very first messages is called The 26 Things That God Hates. 21 of them are actively in our churches today. About 16 of them are actually being taught now in our pulpits in America that it's okay. But God said he hates these 26 things. Now, if God hates to the degree that he loves, you want to get off that list. Amen. But see, a lot of people, they don't know. They don't know. You mean God hates that? Like in hate? And the scripture is very clear on it. So this isn't my opinion. I'm going to use the book and show you. Here's another message. There's actually six in here. This one's called Things That God Refuses to Bless. If you have any of these things on this list operating in your life, it would be no wonder to me why you're not thoroughly conquering and thoroughly blessed. Because there's just certain things God will not lie. He will not cheat. It doesn't matter how much you love him or how much he loves you. He is just too just and too perfect to say, well, I wrote it, but I didn't mean it. So if you want it, I'll bless you anyways. Be blessed. Go and be blessed. And you're going to find out from this series and from this book that God just won't do it. And my deal is I'm working hard, just like your pastor is, to get you blessed. To get you in the blessing zone, get you out of the curse zone. So things work for you, they happen for you. Health, prosperity, happiness, joy, you know, success in life. If you're married, a good marriage. If you got children, good children. If you're breathing, good health, praise God. That's part of our goal. But let's not lose track of the real goal. The real goal is called life after death, not life before death. The promise and the provision of Jesus Christ does cover life before death. We just named some of the greatest things. Sure, the provision package is to help you walk through this life as a covenant man. But the real deal is life after death. So where are you going? There's only one or two places to go. Now, I'm hearing a lot of preaching about other things. I'm hearing a lot of teaching about there is no hell, there's only heaven. But I don't know. I decided to listen to Jesus Christ instead of Reverend Yo-Yo. So I'm going to go ahead and realize that Jesus Christ said there is a hell and defined it. In fact, Jesus Christ taught more about hell and eternal damnation than any person God used to author the Bible. So a lot of people take for granted that because they prayed a sinner's prayer, that that's all that's required in order to cross the finish line. But if you read deeper, you will find out from the scriptures that you got to keep the confidence that you had in Christ from the beginning all the way to the end if you want to be a partaker of Jesus Christ. And so we got to learn these things, and I say we got to go back and rehearse them. Another thing I want to tell you about, we made these little cards. We have hundreds of thousands, no exaggeration, of these on the field of combat and on the battlefield or the prep for battlefield around the world. I'm a Marine, so this one's for the Marines. But there's one for the other branches of service. There's one for police, etc. But they really just match, they match our Christian walk as well, because you are a soldier in God's army. I hope you haven't lost track of that. This card is simple. I confess Psalm 91 over you right now in Jesus' name. I say that no evil shall befall you and no plague shall come nigh your dwelling. For he has given his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. You will overcome all obstacles in harm's way, and you will not be hurt by any evil. You were sworn in as a United States Marine, and you will execute your orders with the Almighty God's endorsement. Your family will also be protected while you war against the powers of darkness. So conquer on in Jesus' name. Go get one of these. Go get some of these if you have friends or family in the military, and get this in their pocket. A lot of active military are pulling these out as they launch their missions. And believe it or not, they're confessing Psalm 91 protection over every combat mission, no matter their branch of service. Even if you're not military or you're not a military family, go get one anyways and just put where it says, I've been sworn in as a United States Marine. You put, I've been sworn in as a soldier in God's army. And you confess this over your life. There was an old general. They called him Stormin' Norman. You ever remember that? Anybody old enough to remember Stormin' Norman Schwarzkopf? In 1990... a man who declared himself to be Nebuchadnezzar, reincarnate, Saddam Hussein, decided that he was just going to take over the entire Muslim world, especially in the Middle East, and he thought he'd start with a sweet country called Kuwait. So he invaded it. You know, pause a minute. The war of Armageddon that will soon be happening now will be between Ishmael and Isaac. And it will be a war, Muslims against the rest of the world. And every since Muhammad, the one who came and actually infiltrated and penetrated and really took siege the Muslim religion. It wasn't called Muslim before that time, by the way. And that's the war that they have, and they all want the same square mile in the Middle East or in Israel that we call the Temple Mount. That war is brewing. But all of that to say that all of these Muslim leaders that have come on the scene in my lifetime have all wanted to be the caliph, the one Muslim leader that all other Muslims salute and follow as the leader, and that country that that person governs to be the caliphate. We just witnessed that again and again and again. Right now, Turkey's working on that. Erdogan says he is the caliph and that Turkey will be the caliphate. And the important part of that is that all nations that are Arab will submit willingly all of their might, all of their money, and all of their military to follow the number one caliph into the battle, listen to me, to wipe out Israel and its allies, which we are their number one ally. Still with me? So in 1990, Saddam Hussein, declaring to be Nebuchadnezzar on the world front, pushed troops into Kuwait to take over that country, thinking it'd be easy peasy. In the process of that, our president, now nicknamed Dad Bush, decided with a world coalition, the largest coalition, by the way, ever formed by a human race in human times, was George Bush the Dad. And they decided to not let that happen, and they went to war to push Saddam Hussein and the Republican Guard out of Kuwait. You may be old enough to remember that. You young men probably aren't, but maybe you know the history. If not, there's a history lesson. Why are you saying all that, Doc? Well, because Stormin Norman Schwarzkopf, who was a Christian, maybe not at your caliber, but he believed in Jesus Christ. So the night, actually two nights before they launched, boots on the ground into Kuwait to go to war, he came into the, he called all the chaplains together from all the different forces and all the different, you know, units. And they're in this big room, and there's this long table. This table that you guys had put up here kind of reminded me of that. It's probably 10 times longer than that, but kind of reminded me. And it's a combat tent. And so he came in, and he had a Bible in his hand. Everybody say Bible.
Bible.
He had a Bible in his hand, camouflage covered, and he stood in front of the long table, and he threw it down with force, and it hit that table and slid about halfway down. And he addressed the chaplains and said, "The war manual," and he pointed to the Bible, "the war manual teaches me that if you holy men bless my troops, we'll have less casualties, we'll win the war swiftly, and we'll have the God called Jehovah in the battlefield with us. Now, one of you tell me what to do to bless my troops." Well, this young lieutenant told me this story. I wasn't there, but he was there. He was a young chaplain. He said, "It got so quiet in that room, Dr. Barkley, that I don't know what happened. I was wondering, somebody say something. And it just got on me, and before I knew it, I was on my feet saying, 'Well, sir, I know what to do.'" And, of course, all the older chaplains stared me down like, "You better sit down, boy. This is the man. Shut your mouth." So the general said, "Well, son, stand back up again. What should I do?" He said, "If you want the God of Christianity, the only true and living God, to bless your troops and to help you win this war swiftly, you got to offer him to all troops everywhere. And then you got to baptize them in the name of Jesus and in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Other than that, sir, I don't think anybody in this room has any advice for you, but pray for the mercy of God that you're not a failure in 2 days in the combat zone." He said, this young lieutenant said, I sat down, shook all over, man. I thought, I'm done. I might as well resign. I just told off the general. But he didn't. He preached the gospel. The old general said, he looked around the room and he said, "So be it. Young man, I give you authority over every rank in this room. Tell us what to do." "Well, sir, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have all of these chaplains go back to their unit, and we're going to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to every troop and give them an opportunity to be born again. And the ones that want to, we're going to turn those body bags into baptismal containers. And we're going to baptize every troop that wants to be baptized for the remission of sins. So when we charge into the battlefield on your command, we not only will be well fit, the greatest fighting force in the world, but our God will go to battle with us. And that old general decided that he didn't care about politically correctness. He didn't care what the government said. He said, "Bless my troops." And they did. And that young lieutenant told me, he said, "I'm a pretty fit guy, Doc, but I'm going to tell you, we baptized so many troops in those inflated body bags. We turned them into water tanks. And we baptized so many troops hour after hour after hour after hour. When I got up in the morning, I could barely move my arms. We just kept baptizing them. Here come the next one. Baptize. Here come the next. You believe in Jesus Christ? Yes, sir. You want to live and not die? Yes. You believe in the Lord? Yes. And baptize them. In case you don't know it, Storm and Norman fought the shortest war ever fought by America with boots on the ground, with the least amount of casualties in human history, and pushed that army out. The enemy army out, reestablished the government in a matter of short days with almost nobody dead. It might pay to take a great example from this great leader to say, "I think I'll just live my life according to the war manual." And ask God to bless my kids and bless my wife and bless my pastor, bless my brothers. Can I have an amen on it? Amen. What a story. What a story. In the book of Timothy, if you want to turn there, you can. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll look in verse 3. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. I know you're Bible church, and we want to go to the scriptures. All the pastors in fivefold wave at me. Let me see. Good to see you guys. Thanks for being here. Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. We salute you. We thank you for it. Praise God. I'm going to 2 Timothy, bouncing off from that. Isn't that a powerful story? That's a powerful story. You know, his boss was Colin Powell. If you remember that name? Great leader, great general. I always wish, it's probably too late now, but I always wish that Colin Powell would have ran for president instead of Barack Obama. Amen. No offense to anybody, but Colin Powell, what a leader, man. What a president he would have been. He was a great general. And you know when he took all the heat for Storm and Norman's decision to go into Kuwait against an Arab attack, a Muslim, I should say, attack on Kuwait. And he went in as Christians in the name of Jesus. And he announced, when the press asked him, he said, "We are a Christian army united with our allies who are from the Christian world, and we're going to push them out of Kuwait, and we're not going to allow their religion to overcome these people like this." Well, you can imagine the heat he took. But guess who took even more heat? His boss. And I was so proud of General Colin Powell, when he stood up and he said, all the man did was tell the truth. That's all he did. This is a side note, not quite as Christian. But when they ask, "Well, General Schwarzkopf, you claim to be this Christian and we're a Christian army, and then shouldn't we forgive our enemies?" He goes, "God's business is to forgive. My business is to set up the meeting." Hoorah. Say it, hoorah. And amen. Man, I like stuff like that. Wow, praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Praise God. Verse 3. "Thou therefore," pause, he's talking about you. You're the thou, so am I. Everybody say me.
Me.
"Thou therefore, Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's read it slow. Thou therefore endure hardness. Do what with it? Endure it. That doesn't mean cooperate. You should attack all hardness with supreme prejudice. You military combat people know what it means when your boss gives you an order, execute, execute, and execute with extreme prejudice. That means I want body bags filled with enemy people. We should attack all hardness with extreme prejudice. We should tolerate none of it. However, this says endure, which you and I would say, don't quit, don't surrender, don't you give up. Well, I can't take any more, Pastor. Shut your face. You are not going to quit on us. We have no betrayers in this army. A better amen, please. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why would I do that? Because you are a soldier of Jesus Christ. You are in the army of God. We are at war. The minute you think we're not at war, my friend, you're doomed. Satan has declared every square inch of this earth, this planet, a war zone. He is relentless. He will never stop chasing you. He will never stop shooting at you. I am not saying this because I'm a Marine or I'm a military. I'm saying this because the Bible defines this. Do you know why Schwarzkopf called his Bible the War Manual? Maybe you don't know this. They use a lot of the War Manual in the war colleges here in the United States and other places. And they still study David, who had the most ruthless conquering army made up of misfits. David was hiding himself and on the run to the cave Adullam. And it says when he got there, it wasn't long, and 400 men gathered themselves to him, and he became a captain over them. And you know who they were? If you know your Bible, you do. It's the three D's. Everyone who was in debt, everyone who was distressed, and every man who was discontented gathered unto him. What a bunch of misfits. That's not a mighty army. Those people are hurting. They're in trouble. You can't be a massive big giver if you reject the prosperity message and you stay in deep debt. How are you ever going to help your pastor win your city if you just sit there and say, I wish I had money, I wish I had money, I wish all my bills were paid? Well, wish on, brother. But this is war against economic failure. We're at war against poverty, debt, and lack. Any amens in here at all? Why do I feel like I'm at a women's meeting? Say amen once really good.
Amen.
And so, something happened in that cave, because later on you read the same army and it says, and quote, and these were the mighty men whom David had. What? You're in debt, you're distressed, crisis, trauma, broken down, things aren't working, you're discontented. That's the worst bunch. You're discontented. And that's where, and that's who gathered to David? Just what he needed on his worst day was a broken down misfit army. But in that cave, two things happened that you and I better take note on. One, they didn't gather to that cave. They gathered to David. Where are you at with that? Is this your, we'll just say we all go to this church here. I know that's other churches, but for the sake of teaching. Did you come to join the church? Are you going to church? Is this your church? Or did you gather to the man of God? Because if this is your church, then you're connected to the organization. You're connected to the church. You're connected to the building. You're connected to a program. Well, I come here because they have a great children's program. Dumb, 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 dumb. Dumb. I'm glad they have a great children's program, but that's a pretty misfit reason to come to a church. You come here, like in the cave of Adullam, because there's a holy man. And it says that he became, this is the second point, they gathered to him, they gathered to him, they gathered to him. Not this, not even each other. They gathered to him. When they were among themselves, they couldn't help themselves. They're still in debt, discontent, and distress. But when they found a captain, and they said, that's our man, we're submitting to him. He's no famous guy yet. He's in a cave, he's running for his own life. But in that cave, a second thing happened that all pastors got to come to a grip with. David became a captain over them. That means he wasn't one before. You don't become something you are. You became it once before, and you're the captain. So in that cave, David's in trouble. He don't feel like being no leader. They're in debt, distress, and discontent. But something happened in that cave. And when they gathered to him and said, you be our captain, tell us what to do, teach us, lead us. Everybody say teach,
teach.
Feed, and lead. Say it, teach, feed, and lead. Any police officers in here? Any firemen? Any military, former military? Anybody ever play sports in school, football, basketball, softball? So I guess we know what captains do. They give orders. Captains give orders. Troops obey them. The first thing to learn as a soldier of the cross is obey. Stop pretending like you're the captain. And you're not a god unto yourself, and neither am I. You can, a lot of, listen to me, I'm not rebuking you, I'm helping you. There's a lot of men and women in the body of Christ that are still, they got a god complex. They call their own shots. They come and go when they want to. They do what they want to. They tithe when they want to, and they don't when they don't want to. And they serve when they want to, and then they go serve their other gods. And they don't, sooner or later, they'll end up just serving their other gods. Whatever their other gods is, it could be anywhere from golf to a sickness or a disease. I don't know. But I find out a lot of people, they neglect our God to go serve their other gods. And that's why they're not here in church attendance. How's your church attendance? How often do you skip church for something else that has your attention? No condemnation. It might be a slap alongside your head, but that's okay. I'm not General Patton, and I can't get in trouble for it. Amen. Praise God. If you don't know war history, don't even worry about that illustration. Now listen. They made a captain. They submitted to a leader. We know Jesus is Lord, not pastor. Pastor knows Jesus is Lord, not us. That's not the point. You don't have to do, no. But to come in and obey, to let whether or not you allow him to be your captain has nothing to do with whether or not he's the captain. Get that straight. All you do in disobedience and when you don't submit is you take your lordship back. You get this God complex going. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. We Americans are worst at it because at least my generation, it was bred in us that we're free, man. We're free men. This is the home of the land and the brave. And you're going to tell me what to do? I'm not a slave to any man. And we get all that mixed in wrongly. So that's right. But we get it mixed in wrongly so into the scriptures. And then we think submitting to a leader is cultish. Well, who does he think he is? I had a young man tell, just who, Brother Barclay, seriously, who do you think you are? Oh, that's a great question. Let me tell you, I'm the guy that God commanded, interrupted my life for you, buckaroo, to rebuke you, to reprove you, to correct you, Book of Timothy, to give you instructions in righteousness. So let's get this straight. I stand up, you sit down. I speak up, you shut up. And you do what God tells you to do. Or live a life as a pagan and claim to be a Christian. But don't expect my God to bless your life. Submission is everything, not one thing. You got to get this flesh under control. You got to get the rebellion under control. So, back to the war manual. Do you know how many war stories are in this Bible? A whole Bible full. War after war. Why? Because God chose. God is God's word. The Bible is God's word. God chose the way to eradicate evil and mistreatment of the human being in the natural, is to go to war. And sometimes God said, you go find those Amalekites, Saul. You kill every one of them. You don't win the war. You kill every one of them. Kill their animals even. And I wipe them from the face of the earth. That's the same loving God who sent you, Jesus Christ. And in case you've been listening to some modern, preppy little, toothy little, pretty little preachers, God did not get saved at Calvary. You did. This whole antinomian teaching that God was a mean, unloving God in the Old Testament, and you did one thing wrong and you died, but in the New Testament, he's a lovey-dovey, you know, the Pillsbury Doughboy. Ooh, you know, it's like... Calvary did not change God. Jesus did not die for Father God to make him a kinder, softer, doughboy God. He's still a God, Peter said, of a consuming fire. I saw a billboard the other day that said, God is not angry. And I thought, somebody has not read their Bible. They've been going to two psychological, philosophical meetings. Because God is so ticked off. And if you don't think he... You need to read the book of Revelation. You know, there is a book in the Bible called Revelation. Because in the book of Revelation, we see seven vials opened. And the wrath of God is poured out on the earth. Animals, plant life, water, human beings. God is so ticked off. And he still is. But you see, we don't hear the word appeasement or propitiation anymore in most of our modern teaching. So most people don't understand that God is very angry, that people have rejected and lived ungodly, just like in Noah's day, just like in Lot's day. Only he sent Jesus Christ as the way out. You follow Jesus Christ, you shouldn't be here anyways for the tribulation period. But that just depends on your doctrine. So let's just say we are. Well, let's go back up. Let's say you believe in the catching away or the rapture. You better be ready for it, or you're going to the tribulation period if that's your doctrine. Let's say that's not your doctrine and you believe in that you're going through the tribulation period. That's even more reason to get your act together. You can't beat the wimpy little demons that keep you out of church, that tempt you to steal the tithe. You can't beat a bottle of beer. You can't beat a joint or a cigarette, and you think you're going to make it through the tribulation period without denying God? You lost it. Let us use this men's meeting to remind you, demons are for real. Did you know that not one of the vials opened in the judgment in the 7 years, for 7 years, seven long years of no blessing. None of those vials were opened in hell. They were all poured out from heaven. What's the point, Doc? I'm back to heaven and hell. I'm back to eternity. Where are you going? How are you going to get there? Well, I prayed a sinner's prayer. I'm a Christian. Let's go get a beer. Hang on there, Bubba. You got this a little bit wrong. So when we talk straight to you, this is like the cave at Adullam. Right, Pastor Stephen? Right, Pastor Chuck? And you other pastors? Hey, right, David? When we get the troops before us, man, we don't get you very often. We're going to lay it on you, man. We're going to command. Everybody say command.
Command.
Then we're going to demand. Everybody say demand.
Demand.
Yeah, we're going to do our job. You may not do your job as a soldier of the cross, but we're going to do our job as commanders in this army. And some of you are like the master sergeants and the gunnery sergeants in this great army. And even though you may not be the captain of the host, or as we say, the pastor, that doesn't mean you don't have rank and file. And that doesn't mean you don't call cadence. And that doesn't mean that you don't keep your hands on those that you're responsible for. I want a real amen out of this.
Amen.
Could I remind you that lunch is now in my hands? Is anybody as hungry as I am? Or did you eat a good breakfast? I don't know. We're not just talking big. This is not just big talk. Seriously, we're not just talking tough because it's a men's meeting, it's special ops thing. We're not just talking tough. This is the way it is. Hear me. If you lose track for one 60-second minute that you are not in a war zone and you're not in combat, the devil's going to take advantage of you. He never takes a day off like some of you do. He never skips reporting for duty like some of you do. There, as far as we know, there's not a demon in his army that is disobedient to Satan. And he takes no faith breaks like some of you do. And so you got to get this fixed. I got to get this fixed. We're at war, man, and our enemy is severely dedicated to win. Severely dedicated, and he never gives up, and he won't give up on you until you take your last breath. So all we got to do to oblige the adversary, our enemy, all we got to do is just slop around. Basically all you got to do is do nothing. The Bible warns about lukewarmness. Not hot or cold. Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, I want to just vomit you and spew you out of my mouth. But lukewarmness takes no effort. You take a good hot day. I hope they come pretty soon. You take a good hot day and you get that glass of ice water, iced tea, whatever you do. And, you know, it's so cold and it's so hot out. And it kind of puts the water on the outside of the glass. You drink that, man, it's refreshing. But if you set it right here and leave it alone, it'll go to room temperature. It'll lose all of its heat. It won't get any colder than what's in this room. It's called room temperature. It's the word lukewarm in your Bible is the same phrase for room temperature. You're not hot or cold. Now, I do the same thing. I like coffee pretty much boiling, you know, and, you know, once it's like, what most people call hot, that's too cool for me. I want to pour it on my tongue and have it boil a little bit down, you know. But you take that boiling cup of coffee and you set it right here and just leave it alone. Just do nothing. Just leave it alone. Do nothing. Just don't do anything. Just don't do anything. Just let it sit there and do nothing, like most Christians. Just let it sit there. You know what it'll automatically do? It'll go to room temperature. It won't stay hot, but it won't go any cooler than the room. It won't go any hotter than the room. There's no effort on that hot cup of coffee to keep it heated. And if you put it in here and say it's 74 degrees in here, it'll go to about 74 degrees. If you take it outside and it's 10 below zero, it will go to freezing and then freeze, but it won't, it just fits in whatever room it's in. And that could be the problem with some of you great soldiers of the cross, is that you've given no real effort. That's my alarm. Another sermon has died. Kenneth Copeland told me, he said, you want to stop a Marine, you got to play taps. I know we're kind of on a schedule today, and I appreciate that, and I'm not going to violate that. That's why I set my alarm. But let's wrap this session up with this challenge that I've been giving you. Let's just rehearse a minute. One, you're not becoming, you are a soldier in God's army. There's more talk about war warfare, like Pastor Stephen taught last night, warfare, that you are warriors, the weapons of our warfare, New Testament, the armor of God, that's our equipment, New Testament, our adversary and what he's up to, the name of Jesus, my text this morning, let's endure hardness. Foxholes aren't much fun if you ever lived in one. However, it's worse to need one and not have one. Amen. This is like the cave Adullam or whatever church you go to. Pray daily that whoever you've submitted your life to as a pastor, a captain, that he's not afraid of you. He doesn't flinch because he thinks you might leave. I'm a combat warrior. I've been blessed in my troop, in my team with the troops, that I never had a deserter or a double agency in any of my men. But it did happen. It does happen. Are you one of them? Can we not count on you? Do you have one foot in the world and one in the church? That's double agency. Do you talk for God when you're here and when you're not, you talk like a pagan? Do you cry out to Jesus Christ when you're here, but when you're with the pagans, you use his name in vain? Are you into porn? Are you into drugs? Are you a liar and a cheater? Do you refuse to forgive? So I'm just asking you. It's like my altar call. So God has given us a captain. We call it a pastor. There's other fivefold, but you know, pastors oversee the flocks of God. Are you a submitted man? We're rehearsing what we've been saying for the last 40 minutes. Are you really submitted? Are you really part of the team? Do you really know you're at war? Are you just flapping around like a pagan? And church is what you do, or it's what you attend, or are you really a soldier? Have you come to, because you are, have you come to the realization that you really are in the army of God and you really do have a captain and we really are at war and everything's at stake? Your wife, if you're married, your kids, your grandkids, your money, your health, your mind, your success is all what the enemy's attacking. Are you a Schwarzkopf? Are you a Storm and Norman? Or are you a sissy little mama's boy still? Is your wife your mama? Do you need your wife to mother you instead of you husband her? These are really good questions. Have you really made your pastor your captain? And if so, does he know it? Have you ever written a note or voice to him? You are my man of God, and I submit my life to you as in Christ. No slavery. We're slaves to Jesus Christ, and that's a good slavery, not the stupid mankind. We're not talking about exalting a human being. We're talking about having your life and mine in order. If you're in God's will, and you're in God's order, and you're under God's command, the Bible says the wicked one touches you not. So that's my challenge to you this morning, that you get your flesh under control, you get your attitudes under control, and you get your anger under control and your appetites under control, and you submit to the man of God in your life, and you let him lead you. You let him lead you. Now, I'm going to sit down with this, Stephen, so get ready. When I first came out of the Corps, I taught at camp. First, I taught recruits for the recruit battalion in San Diego. And then I worked at Camp Pendleton training shooters. But I started going to church. I'd never been to church before. I wasn't raised in church. But I met Jesus Christ for real. So I started going to church. My first challenge going to church is I could not believe how disorganized, disrespectful, undone and selfish that God's men were in that church I went to, though it was a great church. I thought, has no one here taught any protocol at all? Do they not know they're soldiers of the king? Has no one ever taught them how to brush their teeth, clean up a little bit? Sure, you might not have a lot of money and buy, you know, high-end clothing, but you can still put your best on for Jesus Christ. This is what came to me, Stephen, or Pastor Stephen. Has no one ever taught them how to respect the man of God when he walks in the room? Anytime my pastors ever walked in the room or my father's in the faith, I didn't, hey, man, how's it going? I jumped to my feet. Not as a Marine. You know, I didn't say, sir, but I had enough decency put in me that when the holy man, the prophet of God, the pastor of God walks in that room, I stood to my feet in respect to his office. And I thought, has no one taught anything to these men of the church about authority and protocol and honor? Hey, decency? Sir, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Where'd that go? And that was one of my biggest challenges. And I thought, these are God's men and they're better than me. I knew they were better than me. I really needed to be. I had bad problems. And I knew that the brothers of that church were way ahead of me spiritually. But that was one of the things I never could understand. Why are they so undone? This is God's army. So somewhere along the line, my first pastor said, well, now, Mark, you understand that this is not the Marine Corps. I said, no, it's not, sir. And with all due respect, this is God's army. And shouldn't we have more protocol than the Marine Corps? Shouldn't we be living even higher than such a disciplined unit? Should we not be taught well from the scriptures? Pastor, with all due respect, we should be 10 notches above the United States Marine Corps. Amen. Not sloppy, agape, and no order, giving place for the devil to strike, because he will. Amen. Amen. And that's all I got to say. No, that's a lie. I got a lot more to say. Get up here, will you? The alarm went off. Do your job, Reverend. Come on, get up here. Shut this thing down, man. We're hungry. Praise God. Give the Lord a good hand clap. Come on.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.